Jesus went on his way through the towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And Jesus said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." There was a fire in a building. The lower part of the building caught fire, but there were apartments on the upper floor. And this fire started sending smoke up the stairwells to the apartment up above, trapping an old elderly couple up there. Firemen had to climb up a ladder outside the window of their living room, up to the second level. He climbed in, and he told them, "This is the way you've got to come out. You can't go that way." They insisted for the longest time, "No, we can go out this way." Both of them were elderly. Both of them were not in great health. And they insisted, "We can go down the steps." And the fireman said, "No, there's smoke coming up the steps. It's almost pitch black. It's the middle of the night. And there's fire in the walls. We don't know if it's going to break out at any moment. You can't go that way. It's the only way out is through this window and down the ladder." The lady didn't want to go out. She was a little larger. She didn't think she could get over that windowsill in the first place, much less get on a narrow ladder 20-some feet above the ground with nothing but a hard concrete sidewalk below. But the fireman insisted and persisted, "You've got to come this way." Finally, they relented, realizing they can't go the other way as the smoke started pouring into their living room now. And so, with some help, with some cajoling, with some promise, "I'll take you down there the whole way," he said. She climbed out. It was a struggle, hard to get over the ledge. But the fireman promised, "I'm going to be right here, holding you, guiding your feet. I'll put your feet on the rungs. I'll take you down. I will stay with you all the way out." And finally, after a few minutes, with him grabbing onto her, hanging onto the ladder, pushing himself close to her so she wouldn't feel like she was alone on the ladder, they got down. And then he went up, and he did it again for the elderly man. We like to think that we have lots of ways to solve problems in this world. But as you can see, some problems are not solved in various and sundry ways. There's only one way out. This is the only way you can do it. This is the only solution to the problem. That's the same with us when it comes to our salvation. As I mentioned to the children, how can you get into heaven? And right away, you have to believe out of the mouths of children. And that's sometimes even hard for us adults to remember. Because as we grow up, we start thinking we can do it a little better. We've got our own life, and I can show the world how good I really am. All of us, though, live in a world where it's burning. The world is on fire. There's sin and rebellion. But it's not just the physical world I'm talking about. It's the spiritual world. It's the world that goes on inside of your own heart, your own life. The devil's lies are like smoke and fire. They're trying to kill us spiritually. We don't necessarily want to avoid them. We think we can pass through them without any trouble. These lies try to assure us that we don't have to follow Jesus alone into eternal salvation. We can do this a little bit on our own. The lies of Satan tell us that there are all sorts of ways to obtain eternal life for ourselves. Satan and our human nature convince us that we can walk out of this burning world on our own. You don't have to trust Jesus only. You're an adult. You've got a reasonable mind. You have fairly good behavior, too, in this world. You've got this covered. So you can find your own way. You don't need to struggle so hard when it comes to this narrow door of faith. Because as a lot of the world says, there are many paths to God. Well, nothing has changed since Luke recorded today's account of Jesus, who was inviting people to enter into eternity. but through a narrow door. Jesus tells us this is the only way to go. And he emphasizes it because he says it's going to be a struggle. You need to strive to do this, to get through the door. It's that important. It's the only way to live and avoid death. Now, there are still foolish people who insist that they can find their own door to safety here and even in eternity. Like that couple in the fire. They were certain they could just walk down the steps, just guide me down there, but they didn't understand how deadly it was going that direction. Even though they had a fireman standing right in front of them with his whole turnout gear on and a respirator on, saying, you can't go that way. This is it. Today's gospel, this time, Jesus is not talking about pagans, though. He's not talking to pagans about this. You would think that's who his main audience would be. You guys out there in the world who don't know me at all, you think you can go all sorts of different directions. And that's true. The pagans do that. But that's not who he's talking to. He's talking to the Pharisees, the priests, the crowd. He's talking to his own people, the people who are the sons of Abraham, the family of Jacob, who those who claim to be part of the church. This is a warning for us. They insisted that they had a relationship with Jesus. They insisted that they knew Jesus because they ate with him and drank with him, and they heard him teaching in the streets. But they didn't think it was necessary to assume that Jesus is the only way into eternal life. After all, just look at our lives and see how exemplary they are. That's what the Pharisees would do. They would set themselves up as the paragons of virtue. They would be the ideal. You should do like I do. And far too many people still to this day think that's what we need to do. They insist their personal lifestyle should be just as valid as God's word. But Jesus answers this false security by saying, I don't know where you come from. Depart from me, all you who are working evil. That's a harsh statement to be spoken to people who think they're in his church. You're working evil. And why? Because they don't believe. They didn't believe the word of Jesus. They didn't believe God's promise to be their Savior. Instead, they wanted to show God how good I am. Look how wonderful I am, Lord. You have to take me because I am so good. But Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we know that he is true because of his perfect life and sacrifice, and then the fact that he was raised from the dead. It certified what he said is true. And so Jesus is calling to us today, enter through the narrow door. He invites you to go the way that gives victory over earthly death and protects us from eternal death. So don't follow the foolishness of this world and try to find some other way into leading into eternal life, because there is no other way that leads to life. All the other ways lead to suffering. The only way is the narrow door of the cross of Jesus, because there we see what our sin is really all about. There we see what it costs, that it costs God's own Son to come into this world and suffer, bleed, die, be buried in the grave, so that our sin can be forgiven and covered. That's the cost of sin. There is no sin that's small enough that we can push it by and assume God isn't going to worry about it. There is no sin that is taken so lightly that we don't have to think about it, or it's just an error of our life. It's just problems. No, sin is sin, and it condemns and kills us because it condemned and killed Jesus. And when we don't believe in his work, then we put ourselves into eternal problems. There is a struggle that Jesus talks about. Struggle into that narrow door. The struggle is to believe Jesus himself. to believe Jesus in the good times and in the bad times. Too many preachers nowadays are saying that God is going to promise you heaven right here on earth. You can have it all. You can have wealth and fortune, and you can have good reputation in the community. You can have it. But we know that doesn't always work. We know well that Christians do not have the promise of a wonderful life, a rosy and cheery life. I know a lot of you now, and I'm getting to know more of you, and I know very few of you have the perfect life. It's not easy to have faith when you look at a life that seems to be God rejecting you or not accepting you or maybe even throwing arrows at you. And it's hard to believe that God is really there looking after you, loving you, and caring about you and wanting to have you be in his life, in his world, in his kingdom. Rather, at times we tend to look at God and say, well, you don't care about me. And there's the struggle again, to trust and believe that Jesus does love you. And also to believe that Jesus is not here just to be your go-to guy for whatever you want in this life, but that he's looking to bring you into eternal life with him. Also, struggling and striving in this faith doesn't mean just doing a lot of good religious things either. Giving up all those bad habits, forcing ourselves to do things that are right in life, to take on a few more good habits, to give up things at Lent, to make sure that you're being the wonderful, perfect religious person. Now, coming to church is a good religious thing. Coming and receiving the body and blood of Christ is a good religious thing. But there's a warning that Jesus gives to us too. If you look back in the book of Isaiah, our Lord warns his own people of this. He says, why will you still be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it but bruises and sores and raw wounds. They are not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil. And he goes on to say, what to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who is required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. That's God speaking to his own people. He was angry with them. Angry because they came to worship with no faith. They came to worship simply to do. We cannot do our way into heaven. We cannot do our way into the and appease God. The only thing we can do is trust him and believe in him because he's the one that can save us. We can't save ourselves at all. So doing religious things is one of the things that God does command of us. He calls us to come and worship. He calls us to come and receive the body and blood of his son, Jesus. But in faith. Believing when we step up here that this is Jesus actually here at the altar, sitting on this altar if you want to make it that real to you. He is there. He's not just out there somewhere, but he's here to be with you. And when he comes in his word, the promise is that the Spirit is here working in your hearts, creating faith, strengthening that faith, keeping you faithful. That's the struggle. The struggle to find a narrow door is seeing Jesus in the bread and the wine, the water and the word. Coming to the Lord's Supper, trusting his words that Jesus said that it's given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus is not just here as a symbol or a nice thought, but he is the sacrifice given on your behalf because you and I are sinners, and there's nothing we can do about that. Except lay those sins before the Lord and say thank you and give him praise and believe that he has taken them away. Strive to see that the promises of Jesus are true, even in the face of the world that denies all of this and tells you you're crazy. Having faith in the promises of Jesus and his resurrection, then we need not be afraid of death either, because we know Jesus has defeated it and that he is bodily seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will return to raise all his people who have faith in him to eternal life. And then they will be reunited not only with their friends and neighbors and family, but reunited with their own imperishable, incorruptible body to live before God for all time. Faith is the struggle. Faith is the struggle, but we must remember that faith is not created in us, nor is it born from our deeds. Hearing the word of God frequently, daily, hearing that, the Spirit of God will work and give that faith and strengthen that faith to you. And that's how we're able to struggle, not on our own, but with the power of the Lord behind us, the power of the Holy Spirit in us, hearing the word, receiving his body and blood, and trusting in the Lord, coming here to see Jesus and to hear what he has to say for you about what he's done. Like that fireman, that couple finally came to have some faith in that man. They had faith in the ladder, that this is the way out. That's the same with us. The struggle is Jesus talking to us about trusting him, believing him, listening to him, and following him. Jesus will save you from death and condemnation. Believe the life of the cross is the repentant life, a life of looking to the Lord humbly, day after day, seeing him as our one and only Savior, for asking for forgiveness for our sins, which we do each and every day. Believe that it is our duty to thank and praise our God, our Lord Jesus, for his sacrifice, and then humbly come to him, trusting in him totally, and not worrying about what the world does or says, but looking to him alone. Pray for the Spirit, and pray to have faith that will always strive to trust and believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And in his name we pray. Amen.